No, that's okay. It's a little bit after 2:30 on today, May 24th. Is that right? No. Mm-hmm. 24th, 2011, the Public Service Commission hearing room.
Yes.
For a Public Service Commission work session on case number PU08932, this is Commissioner Kevin Kramer along with Commissioner Brian Kalk and staff member Jerry Leon and our attorney in this particular case, Mitch Armstrong. And this is, of course, the Inexco AmeriCorps Wind Project owned by Inexco, being developed by Inexco Development Corporation. We're here to discuss the final order. And we have a draft order in front of us. Commissioner Clark is will be joining us by phone shortly, so we can open the hearing. It's in his portfolio, so I don't really have any other opening comments unless you do, Brian. If not, we can just go right to the...
No, none whatsoever. I've reviewed the order and just look forward to the discussion.
All right. With that, you guys, Jerry or Mitch, anything in particular that should be highlighted?
Yeah, I can kind of go through it a little bit here. I gave a draft of this to the company just to have them look it over and see if they find any errors in it. And there were a couple things in there I'll point out to you as we move through it that we'll fix. And
the only thing I saw on the first page is just the happy to glad that, you know, Tony's now the chairman, just a little thing like that. Mm-hmm. A couple spelling in the preliminary statements.
Oh, I see that, the chairman thing.
Yep. And then it's Public Service Commission and preliminary statement.
What was that, Brian? A Public Service Commission in there somewhere?
Look at the word public.
Yeah.
In the under the preliminary statement, first line.
Oh, okay.
We tried to save you from yourself there, Jerry.
I tried.
Just couldn't quite do it.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, we won't elaborate on that.
That's kind of our expertise, is to save people from themselves, if you hadn't noticed. Okay.
Okay. And I am going to move the issues from the first hearing notice down to the last time it was issued. Same issues. We'll just drop them down a few paragraphs.
Oh, okay.
The changes in here that you have.
What page are you on now, Jerry?
I am now up to 3. Okay. But the changes that you have in here that are tracked in this thing, they are from this draft was written way back after the first hearing. And so the changes are from what we've subsequently done since then. And so that's what's being tracked on here.
All right.
So if we get up to 3, I took out the part about the starting construction in mid-May. That's probably not going to happen.
Right.
The only thing, like in the findings of fact, too, Jerry, on page 3 right there in the top, I mean, does it matter that how many turbines they have and around the whole country? I mean, is that...
You know, it doesn't really. It shows that they're an experienced developer.
Because we had a format we kind of were using for wind orders.
Yeah.
So I don't recall if we...
If, you know, they put it in their proposed order. I left it in just for that reason. But we can...
I guess I don't know that it's relevant to start.
If you'd rather scratch it, we can.
I'm trying to think if we've done that.
That's the only thing, you just check for consistency.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's consistent. I think we maybe have done it, but I don't think we've done it consistently, I guess, just to get you to your
point. Yeah, I think FPL used to put in there that they were a leading developer.
And we took it out.
Yeah, I think so. So
it sounds almost like PR for them, because if we verified they actually have 5,200 wind turbines, and probably not. Probably more of...
How much of this you want out?
Well, I don't know. That was the only... That line is just what... If they own something in North Dakota, I think that's relevant.
So after Canada, I'll scratch the rest of that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying what they own in North Dakota. That doesn't. That's North America. Never mind.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be fine, I guess.
Okay. And I think we're pretty much standard with the rest of that page. Anything in there you want me to elaborate on?
No.
And
could we just compare, though, Jerry, once again, to the format that we've used? Because some of this format just seems like we're missing some stuff from the other WIN orders.
This was the format that we kind of worked out of for the last few cases. We developed it with the Rough Rider case.
And, that's fine. If you did that, that's fine.
And it wasn't the same format as they submitted the proposed findings in, so I did quite a bit of moving around.
I think looking at the redlined version, it's just a little, it just appears different.
Okay.
But I think, and it's, I thought the same thing, Brian, but I think that's what throws us off a little.
Okay.
I think you have the same, that sort of half size redlined version.
Okay.
Okay.
The headings, I think, are all the same.
So we're up to 5. And again, that's all pretty standard going through there.
I think your wildlife is on page 5, the
big eye.
The heading for
wetlands and wildlife. Oh, I see that. Yep. And when we get into wetlands and wildlife, we had the issue with the whooping crane, and that got fleshed out a little bit more in the last hearing. Mm-hmm. And so the findings 26, 27, 28 have been added to reflect the correspondence and the discussions that went on in that hearing.
I guess that's a part to mention. I'd like to get your thought about those three paragraphs, 26 to 28, because the record reflects there is no scientific basis. That would certainly, to me, be a statement open for interpretation.
Let's see here. The record.
I don't think that you can say that.
I did clean it up somewhat from what they had submitted, even. But let me see there. Okay.
Because if they're participating in the habitat conservation plan, isn't that kind of the big trigger? The rest of that stuff, I don't know if it even needs to be in there. If they're in the plan and a take happens, the way I understand it, that then there's some safeguards in there. So why would we need to?
You could put on that paragraph 26, you could put regarding the piping pullover, comma, take out everything to the period, and then just EXCO has agreed.
Yep.
And EXCO has agreed to conduct a site-specific habitat conservation plan and to apply for an incidental take permit.
Yeah, I think that.
Agreed.
I do too. I mean, they did testify to this point. In fact, at the time, since there was no one from Fish and Wildlife to dispute it, and no one else disputed it, but I did think it was even a fairly
agreed,
fairly bold statement.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Yeah, I might as well try to call him up and see if he's. Tell him we saved the heavy lifting for him.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, can you join us now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that'll work.
We are on page 6 of the of the proposed order under wetlands and wildlife, and we're just now discussing those paragraph 26, 27, 28 that Jerry has underlined. And we can go back to the previous stuff if you want right now, or we can wait till we're done if there's anything earlier.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay.
So in 27, we just took out that there's no scientific basis to think that the piping clover will be taken, that sentence. And 27 now reads, regarding the piping clover, an EXCO has agreed to conduct a site-specific habitat conservation plan.
Okay.
And the rest of it's... I took out a finding in there that they had in the proposed findings that said that they had invested so many millions of dollars or whatever it was in habitat set-aside programs. And I wondered if I should have left that in. We had talked once a while back when another company had that in their proposed findings, and the commission decided to take that out, if you remember.
I think it was Basins, wasn't it?
I think it was Basin, too. Well,
that's the most analogous one to this.
And
I like the idea of leaving it out because it's not...
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Our decision process at all.
Well, that's exactly right. It's a statement of some interest to the topic, but it's not relevant necessarily to our decision. It, although it is information, I think the...
Yeah, it might be relevant to U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
Right, yeah. Right. That's right. And that's exactly right. To the degree that they're satisfied, that's fine. But.
Okay, I just want to make sure that everybody felt that way still. And on the bottom of page 6, the nearest non-participant residence is located more than 2,500 feet. That's wrong. The measurement was 1,600 and some feet. 1,646, I think. I can't.
I think they testified to that at Ashley and Ashley.
There was 1,600 and some feet from a participant resident, maybe.
Maybe that's...
Oh, probably, you know what? I bet you're right. I think that's right. That might have been the situation.
You might want to double-check that all, but I remember that it was closer than 2,500 feet, but my assumption was that was a participating resident.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I'll put a check on it, but my inclination is probably to make that down to the 1,646 or whatever the number is.
And not even reference non-participating?
Yeah. And just say that's because we talked about a 1,500-foot setback in that paragraph.
I don't recall ever talking about non-participating landowners and orders before.
No,
I don't, except that it is a point of, it's always the point of the greatest, right. I don't know that it's so bad. And we've allowed 1,400 from a non-participating.
Interesting. Once you put the number in there, does that become the standard, just like our 1,400-foot standard that we never set as a standard?
Yeah, that's a good question.
From the standard?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, it probably does. I mean, at least an expectation, if not a precedent. That's
Since they proposed the 15,
yeah.
But we could change that to the 14 that we've always used. 15 is bigger than 14. And then just say that the closest one is 1,646.
Or you could just say they've maintained 1,400 feet.
Does it help you at all if you just say the nearest, there are no residences within 1,500 feet of the turbines?
We can use the 1,646 then. I just scratch the whole per sentence and say the nearest residence
Because I don't think it necessarily sets a standard from a legal perspective. It's just fact specific to this farm.
Right.
Yeah. And then there's a question on the non-participant. If we wanted to leave that in at 25, I think that's the way this went. I can double check. If you want to leave
I think I'd just say the closest residence is
okay,
whatever it is, and leave it at that.
Yep. Yeah, that distinction is not unimportant, and I think Brian's right. You can set a false expectation with that statement.
Yeah.
And I'll say, well, look what you did in this case.
Yeah, okay. And we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Other than published it.
Yeah, right.
The nearest residence is located 1646 feet from the nearest turbine. Okay.
Jerry, can you explain to me again what you determine the right-of-way of any maintained jurisdictional road? Or maybe legal, you can tell me what that means. How would I explain what that is in North Dakota talk?
They have these little section line trails.
Right.
That aren't really roads. They're kind of like two-lane cow path
yep.
trails. And the intent here is to exclude those kind of things. They're not a maintained road. They're not, and they're not.
No, I know exactly. What
jurisdictional,
about.
Like yeah, county. They're not.
Not jurisdictional to a
political
subdivision like a county or a township. Well,
they're jurisdictional to somebody.
Yeah,
they're county roads, if nothing else, or township roads.
You want to lose the jurisdictional word there?
Well, I just wanted to know what you meant by it, because
it was their words. But that's what the intent was to exclude this stuff that's not real roads.
But then how do we determine what's not real roads? Just because...
I think that's where they had the jurisdictional...
You could just ask what that means, Jerry, a little bit more. Because, like, I'm visualizing, you go down any road in North Dakota, you've got your little, you know, your section lines, and every mile you got these lines down there, and you get these maintained, these big gravel roads. That's, I think, the intent from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those maintained gravel roads used to be trails, too.
Exactly, but somebody decided to build them up for whatever reason.
But, hey.
So.
No, you can leave it, Jerry. Just let me know what that means exactly.
Yeah, I'll check what jurisdictional means. But, you know, if the county maintains the road, they require permits to cross them and things like that.
Well, then maybe it should say, I don't know if townships have a different jurisdiction. If we're talking county, then maybe we should just say county.
I don't know that if there's any township roads involved, or if there's even such a thing as a township.
That's why I just asked.
Paying for roads.
See, I just leave it for now. It's fine.
Okay. And on that page, then, we added the language on the one call stuff that we used before. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I think that pretty much does it on the order. The ordering paragraphs have been fixed to add the one call and to reflect the... Oh, I'm missing a space here. And four, to reflect the certificate that they signed as being attached and made part of the order.
Oh.
Jerry, just jumping back to page 7 where it talks about the citing recommendation from, you know, basically AWEA. Have we ever talked about that before, using that as the standard that we now measure ourselves against? I know we've talked about
EPA. I can check language before. I don't know if we've specifically said AWEA.
I just know that we've used EPA recommended for noise levels before.
Yeah.
But I don't recall seeing that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we should just use whatever language we have from the...
I'll check that. We might have used industry standard or something.
And yeah, I think we've said something like general standard or something like that.
Practice or something.
And what number is that?
34.
Page 7.
Yeah. And we may have used that even. Another question for you is when I bounced this off of the company, off of Anexco, they were asking us to put a reason in the preliminary statement as to why we held another hearing. And they had it in their proposed order, and I took it out. It says now, let me see if I can find it here. I must have dropped the preliminary page.
Which one are you looking for, Jerry?
The first page.
Second page.
Of yours or the company's?
I think the company had the track on it, so either way.
Oh, yeah, it's on page 2. I don't know that we have okay. to say that. I mean, we could hold as many hearings as we wanted to.
Yeah. All I said was holding an additional hearing, and they asked for some crazy language after that instead. And Mitch said if we wanted to put a reason in there,
some compliance
language. We would say, what did you have, Mitch?
Well, I said if we wanted to put something in there, I would just put,
there it is.
Because the hearing on February 10th was not held in Dickey County or McIntosh County, and then lead into on March 18th, the commission issued a notice of filing and notice of hearing.
What if you just said, you know, indicate the commission held a hearing in Ellendale, and then, or I'm sorry, in Edgley, and then for the next one, say, the commission held a hearing in Ellendale in conformance with, and then cite the statute that requires that it be in the county, and leave it at that.
That's essentially what we've done without right. citing the statute, I mean, just by going through the general procedure anyway.
Right. I mean, it sort of implies that the first one wasn't, you know, specifically tied to that statute. But
yeah. So what were you
saying? I like that idea.
I think so, too.
So what were you saying? Should we go with what Mitch was saying, or did you have some other language, Tony?
Either way is fine.
Okay.
I mean, Mitch's lays it out in sort of common language. Mine would just reference the section that requires it to be held in the county.
Okay. So we'll take what Mitch had and we'll throw in the section.
Yep.
And we'll make that work. And I think that's pretty much it.
So is this fine for the next scheduled commission meeting, or is there something that pushes it before
the
this?
The plan is to put it on for June 8th. That's kind of why I rushed this working session up to try and get that done, because I figured it's been dragging for them already.
It has, but they've got a lot of other issues now.
Yeah.
And that works for me.
Yeah, that's fine. I think so, too. That's your story.
So it sounds good.
Yeah. All right.
Well, in case you're wondering, the river's really high.
Yeah. You know, when I came down today from Minot, when I hit Washburn and you get to where you see the river, I almost drove in the ditch. It's so wide out there. It's just
fast and cold.
Yeah.
And they're going to release more now, right? Yeah. So it's going to come up further.
85,000 CFS Sunday.
Yeah, it's already within a few feet of the bank down here. I'm down by Briardale. And, I mean, you look to the west. The west side is so much more flat and open than the east side is here. But, I mean, it just seems to go on forever over there.
Yeah.
I went down to Fox Island and looked at it last week. And it was already all the way up into the parking area of the boat ramp was completely under.
Oh, sure.
And
The erosion was what's really something. I think my brother-in-law has probably lost 12 or 15 feet in some spot where just, you know, whole trees have just blown in.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not rich.
With that.
Okay, I suppose we can close this work session. Tony, we opened it up without you, as you noticed. There was nothing else in the first few pages, Tony, that you had?
No, that was
okay.
Fine.
All right.
Okay.
Let's close it then. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.